My message to you today. My scripture reading is in Matthew 15. And let's start at the 10th verse. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man." And let's skip down to verse 15. Jesus said to him, Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceedeth out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, that we can send this prayer cloth to Laura for her problem with her eye. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the rest of this service and help it to help each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask all these things. And amen. My text to you is in Jeremiah. And let's go to Jeremiah 17 and start with verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, and according to the result of his deeds." This morning, my message to you is entitled "Heart Trouble." And surely, there's many who have this type of heart trouble. Jeremiah says that the heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? What does Jeremiah mean by saying this about the heart? The heart trouble that we are examining today is obviously not physical. It is spiritual. It is spreading rampantly. It is as a wildfire, fastly moving and consuming all that is in its path. It's a malady of the mind. It's a failure of the heart. The mind becomes diseased as it's flooded with all kind of evil thoughts. The hearing of so many things that is not like God enters our ears and is received into our minds, and diseases our mind. And the heart cannot help but follow. I'd like to go to Luke 6 and 45. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. You see, our scripture reading and Jesus' words about what enters the mouth, enters the ear, enters the mind. What becomes of it? It's not so much that which enters, but that which is given out through our mouth. We might say, and we perhaps have heard this in different forms in the past, that when we receive good things in, and we are flooded with good reports, righteous things of God, the Word of God, and we're flooded with that. What's the result of being flooded with good things, with the Word of God? Well, good things in, good things out. That's just the way that it works. More good in, more good out. Less good in, less good out. No good in, no good out. Nothing in, nothing good out. It just follows that what we let enter ourself through our ears, into our minds, and floods our mind, it just follows. That's what's going to come out. What is being flooded within us. Sin is what is entering when no good goes in and no good comes out. Sin is the separator between us and God. We must rid ourselves of sin in our heart and life. We must resist the sin that is all around us. We must resist subjecting ourselves to sinful people, sinful circumstances, sinful talk, sinful writing. What you let go into yourself is what you're going to be influenced by. And ultimately, if it's dwelled on enough and you're flooded enough, that's going to become a part of you. It's even going to become part of your personality. Change your behavior, change your speech, conversation, change your actions. All the result of what you allow to come into your heart and life, to be flooded into your mind. We have to resist. We have to resist the devil. We have to resist all of his little ammunition that he has to throw at us. We have to resist. We have to ask God for help to do that. We're not saying that we can do that within ourselves and alone. Sometimes it's too much for us. Sometimes the temptation is almost too great. We have to resist. We have to go to God for His help. We must say no, and be willing to say no
stand up and say no. When we see things going on about us that we know we don't need to be a part of, we don't even need to subject ourselves to that kind of talk or that kind of action or that kind of place. We must say no to evil and unrighteous acts and lifestyles. We must know that God instructs us in His Word to be holy, as I am holy. Does that sound like some sort of neutral ground to you? Does it sound like you can just sort of go along and just sort of say, well, it doesn't matter, it'll all work out. I'm just going to let it go. Probably won't hurt me that much. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. That's not neutral ground. He says to be like Him. He says to use Jesus and the life of Jesus as your pattern, as your example. And no better example of what God is truly like and what He expects of us, no better example is that example that we can examine and evaluate of Jesus Christ Himself. We must know that God means what He says when He says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. We strive for perfection. We strive for righteousness. We're not saying in any shape, form, or fashion that we can work our way into heaven by our righteous acts and our righteousness. That's not it. God said, be ye holy as I am holy. He means to go in that direction. He doesn't mean to just go into a stalemate, to stand on neutral ground and not be going anywhere. That doesn't get it at all. God commands and has always commanded from the very first part of His Word of creation to the very last. He commands and expects obedience. He commands and expects growth. Growth in being more like Him and less like you and less like the world about you. As we live our life, we know that there is judgments coming from God. We know that there are rewards. His words tell us there will be a judgment in which people will be held accountable for what they do. And there will be rewards based on what we do in this life. As just judgments, do you know that there is no finer and more accurate judge than God? If anybody knows the score totally and completely, God knows the most minute thing in your heart and in your mind, more so than you yourself or anybody else. He will issue a just judgment of all things at the appointed time. Rewards may be as vastly separated as heaven and hell. That's quite a separation there. But there's going to be a judgment in which that will be the judgment, the difference between heaven and hell. I want to ask you an important question about you yourself and in regard to my message to you today. Heart trouble. What does your mind tell of your state through the filters of your heart and your mouth? Let me repeat that. What does your mind tell you of your state through the filters of your heart and your mouth? It tells you something. If you're at all listening and aware, are you leaning toward God? What direction are you leaning? Are you leaning toward God, or are you leaning toward the other place? There's not but two. If you're not headed toward God, then you must at best be lukewarm and headed away from Him. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? Very important parable, because it gives us insight into what the Father God is like. Because this parable of the prodigal son pictures a son who has went away from his father, wanting to do his own thing and wanting to go his own way, which he chose to be away from his father. This loving and waiting father looks to the day that his son will come to his senses and will come back home. Come back to him. Come back to his family. And in the same regard, the loving Heavenly Father looks toward straying children of his that has went away from him. And just as this prodigal son's father stands and has his eyes and his face toward the direction in which his son left, and hoping that return is from that same direction, so it is that your Heavenly Father looks for each one of us that have made our decisions to drift away. We're speaking of heart trouble, in which decisions are made to leave the ones that love us most. We have to picture that prodigal son's father is just like the Heavenly Father. He is looking toward where he knows that his son is coming. And he's not only facing that direction, but he has his arms outstretched so that when his son comes toward him, his son will know he's going to be received. And so it is that our Heavenly Father always has his arms outstretched to us. But we have to come to our senses and know that we have to get sin out of our life, because it's that which separates us from the Father. It's that which led us to go away from Him to start with. It's that sin that we were flooded with, that we did not resist. that it overcame. And it took us away from the ones who loved us most. I'd like to go to Ezekiel 36 and 26. Ezekiel 36 and 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. If we have heart trouble, there's a solution for it. And it's coming to our senses and getting sin out of our life. And knowing that we have the promise of God that He will give us a new heart. And it won't be that hard, stony heart that is not receptive. But it'll be that heart that is receptive. And it will be that heart that knows that His Holy Spirit needs to be there and needs to be doing the leading and the guiding. I'd like to go to Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. Jeremiah 31 and 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is a new covenant as we go back to 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. And this is that covenant of His Holy Spirit that He promised to give us, and which has already came, and which is available, and is a freely given gift from our Heavenly Father. If we ask, He'll change our heart. He'll give us that new heart. If we ask, He will give us His Holy Spirit to lead and guide. And that's what we need today. That's what we need to change that heart from a stony heart to a heart of flesh, receptive to the wonderful works of Jesus. And we need to know that heart trouble can be healed. And it can be healed through getting sin out of our life and making sure that our heart and our mind are flooded by good things of God, by His Word. Stand with me in prayer.